that we don't just celebrate and remember once a year. We celebrate and remember always. That's okay. That's just, I'm listening for the celebration is what it is. So, that's cool, guys. It looks like it. All right. I don't know, guys. They might be having a lot more fun than us. But I will say, if we did the same kind of stuff, you'd need to get up and dance. Is everybody ready? Okay. All right. So, we get to celebrate and rejoice a risen Savior. You guys can understand that the tomb is still empty, right? The tomb is still empty. Ain't nobody found what's inside of there, right? Because he is risen, right? When they came to see what was gone in there, remember, Mary Magdalene was so upset. They're like, what did they do with his body? She was upset. And it's like, no, he is risen, just like he said. Go tell. And even when she ran back and found Jesus, right? She wasn't even sure it was him yet. And she's crying, what did they do with him? And he's like, it's me. Guys, we don't just serve a risen Savior. He didn't just pull a Houdini and disappeared, right? He showed up. And then he showed up to people. Because he knew that we needed it. He didn't just disappear to go off. He was a conquering hero in what he did. And how different than how you or I would do it, isn't it? We want to jump out sometimes and conquer things as we would in the flesh. But Jesus says, interestingly enough, I'm going to come in the flesh. And I'm still going to conquer things, but not as you do it. I have a plan. And it's perfect. And it's not the way I think any one of us would have done it. How many of you guys woke up early this morning to watch the sunrise? Anybody else do that? That's why you're here at the 11 o'clock service. You're like, I'm not doing a sunrise thing. Talked to a lady, says that the moon was so bright this morning it woke her up. She says, I didn't wake up with the sun. The moon was bright and it woke me up and it reminded me of what had happened. What had happened over 2,000 years ago, that God had done something which is like this thumbtack in history, holding down one of the most important events ever. I'd say since creation, if we think about it, right? Can you guys top anything else? How about God says, check this out. No one's around, just us. He says, I'm going to make something out of nothing. Anyone else can do that? I don't know about you, but even the greatest handyman needs materials to put stuff together. But God says, wait, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and do something with nothing. Then we'll see. And then in the most amazing thing, not only did he create and sustain everything that there was when creation was broken because of sin, because death had permeated into all aspects of it. Creation tasting the fall and the break. How many of y'all know we live in a broken world? Anybody else understand that and feel it? I bet when you wake up, you might have felt it today. Anybody else woke up and you're like, can't move, give it time. You feel and know that there is a break. There is something that is wrong in how the earth is now. How many of y'all know this isn't all there is? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. This is not our best life now. This is a time when we celebrate because God has better things. Kind of a silly thing. You know, you guys ever wonder what it would have been like to be stuck in the tomb for 3 days? Now, we recognize that Jesus probably was not up there sitting there playing solitaire, right? He had to die for us in that tomb 3 days. When they closed things up, I bet it was pretty dark. How many of you are still afraid of the dark? Be honest. I've told the stories before. When I first moved up to the mountains and I'm walking around at dark, I'm like, I can park my car at night. Oh, it's dark. I don't need lights. And that's when you hear the leaf crunch of other things that are big and walking around you. Praise God, most of the time they're deer, right? We know that now. Anybody else? I know people in this room have walked up on a mountain lion, you know, just outside. And you know what? Most of the time, those guys don't much care about you either. They're just kind of like, oh, morning, neighbor. And they do their thing. But Jesus was in the dark for 3 days. His body, mind you. But here's the thing. Darkness is an interesting thing. Pretty much all of us when we're kids are afraid. And it's interesting to see these things that we somehow naturally don't even like. And I know as we grow bigger in life, we have bigger fears, right? Most of our kids, they're not like this week, right? Your kids aren't walking around going, man, mom and dad, I'm just really wondering how to do taxes. Your kids ever do that to you? Mine don't. But I can tell you when I turn that light off, no, daddy, I don't want that light off. So you can imagine, we got a lot of night lights around the house, right? We got alarm clocks that are night lights. We got night lights that are night lights. We got, you know, vaporizers or, you know, little vaporizers that are night lights, everything, because they're afraid of the dark, the unknown, what comes. God was really good, wasn't he? Because when he was making things, what did he do in the dark? First, he said, let there be light. It reflects who he is, doesn't it? Because he says he is light. And he says, let there be light. And even for us, he separated light from darkness, made day and night, right? And then what did he do for us at nighttime? He gave us these other things. That's right, he made lesser lights, right? We had the sun during the day, and he made the moon at night so that we can see. And he made all these other little lights for us, too. He says, there'll be signs for you, and they'll point. Point to who? Point to the real light, the light of the world. And when everything, hey, you preach it. That's right. And then when he set up everything, and there was still a rebellion in heaven, which spilled over into the creation, and Satan, that rebel, recruited a couple of people into his way that stumbled and brought the rest of it in there. And yet God promised, this will not be the end. Did he press the reset button? Anybody else happy that God didn't make a reset button on all this? Maybe he did, but he didn't tell us, but he hasn't used it yet. He got pretty close with 8 people. But right now we're all here by the grace of God. Amen? Today God woke you up because he's got something for you. Amen? May not be something we always want right away, but he knows what's good for us, doesn't he? If you woke up before 9 and you were here, you had breakfast. Thank you for coming and sharing that with us. But right now, we are here because we recognize that something is wrong. And we have God who didn't just say, oh, well, I guess we'll have to deal with it. I'm one of those people that sometimes looks at a problem, unfortunately, and says, I can deal with that. Are you one of those people? You're just kind of like, oh, I can live with that. Maybe it's your health. You look at something that broke, you're like, oh, I can live with that. Who's ever walked on a broken foot or a leg or dealt with an arm and you just said, I'm good. I don't know. I'm fine. You put things down, you know, your car starts to have problems. No, I'm good. We can get by. I can fix this. But God, knowing what had broken with all these things, looked at a world and says, this isn't good. I will fix it. And he promised back at the beginning to bring a deliverer from the seed of the woman, or the seed of the woman, who would come and crush the head of the serpent. And that is Jesus coming and defeating Satan, the original rebel, and saying, we're going to do this. And he came back to take away those things. And one of the things, the most important things, he came to reverse, right? Because Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. Amen? He said, I'm going to come back and we're going to fix these things that are broken. One of the most important things that Jesus fixed that we celebrate today is he fixed death. So that people don't have to die and be forever dead apart from God. This is a joy that when you look at all of the things that need to be corrected, how dark the world can be. All the things that God defines himself as. Light, love, goodness, life. With sin, the opposite became a part of our world. Darkness, evil, malice, and death. And Jesus came to break those things, to cast them down so they don't have any more power over us. So that we can look and say, I'm not afraid of you. I don't need to be afraid of death anymore. I don't need to be afraid of darkness anymore. Not that there aren't powers out there, but God has given us his spirit, his word, his protection. He has given us his son so that we might know life and we might have it. And in the resurrection, there is hope that we don't have to be afraid anymore. Your first point I want you to put down there. If you guys were here at 8 o'clock, I'm really sorry, but you're hearing it again. The first point is resurrection, a past hope. You see, resurrection and the idea that someone can come back, it's not completely novel. But let me ask you this. If somebody came back from the dead that you know, would that be a big deal? Probably so. How many of us have wished praying on the side of a loved one? If only they were back for a moment. And there are people in history whom God did amazing things with that for. Think of Elijah, right? We think of Elijah as this kind of a gung-ho prophet who's like calling down fire on people. He's a strong man of God, right? Sometimes it wasn't just on people. Sometimes he just called down fire on the offering and then told everyone else, go get him, you know. But he's a pretty out there guy. But there was a time when a widow whose house he was staying at lost her son. And when she approached him about this, she was upset. I'm just going to paraphrase the story right now to get through this. And Elijah goes up there and he starts first. And what do you think he did? He prayed. He asked God, and it says that God, the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and that boy was returned to his mother. We see a similar story again in Elisha, his protege, who is also staying at the house of a widow. Seems to be a habit, I'm not sure. But you have the Shunammite woman, right? And she also has a son. And the son dies, and she goes to Elisha and says, interesting enough, she goes and says, he says, "Hey, how is it with you?" The response in a typical Hebrew thing would have been, "Shalom, peace, wellness, I'm good, it's good." Even she, just losing her son, you know what she says? "It is well." How many of us can look after losing a son and look to someone saying, "How you doing?" and say, "Oh, it's going good, it's well, I'm fine." The great thing is, I think it speaks to her faith, because she says, "It is well, come, I need your help." And so Elisha, when he gets there, what does he also do like Elijah? He prays. And by the grace of God, that son was also restored. So how important do we think it is, especially when that was 800 years before the time of Jesus? And even then, there was that period of 400 years when Israel did not have a prophet. They didn't have someone to speak from God to them. They didn't have people walking around, miracle workers. As we look at these prophets, as we read the miracles, God worked through them, and they were lacking. And then here comes somebody on the scene. I'm looking at Luke chapter 7. In the city of Nain, there was a widow who had lost her son. Jesus now in his ministry, as you know, he looks at the hearts that are broken in there, and he has compassion on them. And he goes over and he touches that casket. And what happens? That boy, says in Scripture, he pops up and starts talking. You ever wonder if that was just like, if that was the last conversation he was in, and he was just like, blah, blah, as I was saying, I'm not sure how it went, but we have a picture here. But Jesus, this is a different kind of resurrection. Scripture didn't say he prayed. Scripture didn't say he did magic stuff. He didn't lay a staff on the boy. He didn't lay on him and try to and warm him up. We didn't cover those in the other ones, but there were some other actions that followed. But Jesus just said, "Get up. It's time." And that boy popped right on up. And the people knowing would probably be with Moses and saying in Deuteronomy 34:10, "Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel who was like Moses, who knew God face to face." Jesus is unique among the prophets, because every other prophet there ever was pointed to the true prophet, pointed to the one who was to come, and that was Jesus. You see, those people, they understood a little bit of those things, seeing those stories, hearing the miracles that God had worked in some. And then there is one now among them who has authority, who is preaching as one who had authority, and by God's strength is bringing people back from the dead. It takes things which wasn't just a past hope, something that was way before it became present. And they were living it, and they're starting to see this in the ministry of Jesus, recognizing someone, as Jesus said, greater than Moses is here. Pay attention. That brings us to our second point. If you're seeing all the pages I'm turning, say, "Hallelujah, he didn't preach those." No, okay. We'll get you out of here on time, Lord willing. Point two, resurrection is also a future hope. I shared this message briefly at a ceremony the other week, but I want to share it again, because in the mind of people in the time of Jesus, even knowing what he could do, sometimes they recognize that there still was to be a resurrection. And in John chapter 11, we know that Lazarus, who was a friend of Jesus, he had stayed in their house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were family. And Jesus gets news that Lazarus is very ill. In fact, Mary and Martha, the sisters, send word to Jesus. Why? Because they know he can do something about it, right? How many of you guys, I talked to Larry and Evelyn coming back from Idaho, and I said, "So how are things going in there?" He goes, "Well, we've had a plumber at the house here, but the good news is he came because the first guy broke everything, and now this other guy is the senior plumber here to fix it." How many of y'all know you'd rather call the senior guy the first time and have it done right? Maybe you're like me and you tried to do it yourself and then you had to call somebody to get it done right. More than once. They know who the Senior is. They know who Jesus is. And so they call him and say, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Please come." And then what does Jesus do in John 11? He waits 2 days How many of y'all know Jesus is not a procrastinator? Can I get an amen? He knows exactly the perfect time. In fact, when the others were wondering, why are we going yet? He says, this is for your good that you see this, for what I'm about to do. And then he begins to go on in because he tells them, guys, Lazarus is now asleep. Now we go. Of course, being confused, they say, what do you mean he's asleep? Isn't he going to wake up? He says, no. Says Jesus spoke plainly to them. He's dead. Now it's time that I go. You see, the village they were in was just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. And when they got close, Martha ran out to see Jesus. Now, what if you knew somebody who was the master plumber? How about this one? Not even a master physician. He's the master of life. And you asked him to come, and he didn't come when you asked. And so now Martha goes to him and he says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would still be alive. That's hard, isn't it? How many of us have also asked that same question? Maybe we look at other people and say, if only this or that had happened, this would be so much better. They would still be with us. Maybe you start blaming yourself. Maybe, like a lot of people, you blame God and say, hey, the buck stops with you. How come this didn't happen? Jesus loved them. And he stopped and he said something quite profound. Because when they come and he says this, he says, even now, this is Martha speaking to him, even though she's upset, even though she's hurt and she doesn't understand, she says, even now I know that whatever you ask God, he'll give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And so she's thinking about that future hope. Because they understood that there would be a time in the future where God would set Israel apart and their Messiah would rule over them. And even they would get to come back. There was a hope and an understanding that there would be one day when they would come back from even death. And so they said, Jesus, I know that one day he's going to come back. On that resurrection, on the last day, and Jesus said to her some of the biggest words ever. You ready for him? He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That question's for us today, too. Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? And that he who believes in him, even if we die, will never die? In fact, Scripture says that when we go, if we're in Jesus Christ, where do we go? Do we have to stay 3 days in the dark room like he did? I say that jokingly. His body. No. We go to be with him. The Scripture promises a different thing because of what Jesus has done for us. Of what we're celebrating today. They didn't understand that. They didn't know what was coming. And he says then this. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And you all know what Jesus did next. Now, Mary came out afterwards asking the same thing. Instead of explaining, Jesus stays with her and her friends. And what does he do? He doesn't give them doctrine, although that was a very good thing. I'm very glad he gave us that. But he stops with Mary and cries with her and the other mourners, knowing full well Lazarus was popping right back. That's the heart of God, folks. He stayed there with them and comforted them. And then he said, take me to the tomb. It's time. And you all know what happened next. Jesus Christ says, remove the stone. And they say, Jesus, it's been 4 days. It's going to stink in there. I've said this last week and before. You understood that the Jewish people had an understanding that death, they believed the spirit could still occupy. This isn't in Scripture. It was their belief. They thought maybe the spirit could still occupy that body for maybe by the third day. But even then they said, that's it. Can't happen. Jesus waited 4 days. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Get up out of those grave clothes. Now, that's an extra little thing there. But he just gave him a command. Come, get up. And what did Lazarus do? Did he delay? No. The Scripture indicates that he responded. And he got up. And he moved and got out of there. How amazing was it In fact, it was so amazing that although they had plotted at other times, it became serious. And Jesus' enemies, the religious people of his day, said, "We need to kill this man." They say it's better that one man die for Israel or for a nation than the nation for him. Not even realizing they were being led in that moment to do so because it was the plan of God. That they would even plan this heinous thing. And that brings us to our final point. Point number three, resurrection, which is a present hope. Although it happened over 2,000 years ago, we are celebrating today the present hope of the resurrection. That's right. You see, sometimes we forget that that tomb is still empty. Sometimes we forget of all that happened for us. We weren't back then just knowing that sometimes a mighty prophet could do something. Everybody who was brought back in those days, they tasted death yet again, didn't they? But Jesus came so that death would no longer take somebody and take them again, but so that we would have to taste death but one time and then be with the Lord. That's amazing. And he did it by proving something that was remarkable. Let's go to Matthew 28, if you wouldn't mind, and read with me. We'll start on verse 1. "Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," it's Sunday, folks, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear, and they became like dead men." And that's just one of the employees, right? Pretty neat, huh? "And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was laying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him. Behold, I've told you.' And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples." Now, you know from Scripture and other accounts, it wasn't just at this one time. In fact, we know that Jesus didn't just disappear. He wasn't just a vapor. Who got to see him? Mary Magdalene got to see him. Peter got to see him. The Scripture says James got to see him. He appeared to the 10 that were there and they got to see him. Then he appeared to more. Then he appeared to 500 at one time. Jesus didn't just stay. It wasn't just a vapor. It wasn't just a spiritual thing. In fact, when he showed up and people were afraid, he says, "Come, see, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I do. Remember? Come, see the hole in my side. See my hands. I'm here. I'm not just an illusion. I'm not just a vision. I am here." You see, we have a neat promise in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think of things being spiritual, like this earth. Everything about this is bad. You guys know when everything God made was, a lot of it was physical. And what did he say when he created it? It was good. It was good. If you've ever had an In-N-Out burger, you know it's good. I was talking to my brother Nathan the other day, and he's asked the same question I've asked. He says, "What I don't get is, if there's no death, will the wedding supper of the Lamb have cheeseburgers?" I said, "I don't know how that works out, but I have hope." So we look at this, and he says, "Guys, it's not just me in spirit. I am here. The holy hands, the pierced side," he says, "I am here." You see, if God the Son condescended himself to become part of humanity, being truly God and truly man, sometimes we get an idea like he would just want to be done away with that thing. But that he wears himself. Remember, he's not given a body of flesh like yours and mine, but something, as Paul said, imperishable, perfect. So that one day we know that we will be like him. Anybody else looking forward to your new body? Amen. He came to show us the new model. You know, like in those big car shows, they show the ones coming out. Jesus came and says, "Check out the new model, because you're getting something like it." Amen? And it's not just for us. We didn't earn it, did we? He did. We didn't know how to conquer death. He did. While we were yet afraid of the dark, he bore everything, and he bore darkness for all of us. that we might trust him and put our faith on Christ so that we can celebrate over 2,000 years later, reminding us and each other and other people we meet that the tomb is empty. There is hope. We have a living hope, not a dead one. We have a risen Savior, and he's alive and in the world today. He is still working. We have a hope. Guys, I don't know about you. I told you, it was pretty impressive when God made everything out of nothing, right? It's like, hold on a second, let me show you something. How about this? Of all the people, when we think of just the power of a resurrection, someone coming back from the dead, it was powerful enough when Jesus did that to somebody. They said, we got to kill this guy. People are going to follow him like mad. But yet, check this out. Do you know anybody who ever resurrected themselves? There's only one, folks. And we could argue, because as we look through Scripture, there are plenty of evidence to say there. And it says again that he was raised by the Father. But in the same way, 1 Peter 3 at Romans 1, 4, it also says he was raised by the Spirit. And guess what Jesus said about himself too? He says, I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. And then he says, I have authority to take it up again. And in John chapter 2, when he was questioned by people, he says, tear down this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Now, they didn't get it. They thought he was talking about the temple behind him, right? Man, if you've been a contractor in the day, can you imagine somebody putting in a big, giant castle-like building? Tear it down and I'll build it back. And they're like, you're insane. Of course, even the gospel writer said later, I didn't know it, but by the Spirit, I understood he was speaking of his body, which they did destroy. And in 3 days, it was raised up again anew. Jesus, in that moment, he said, in 3 days, I will raise it up. So who raised Jesus? Father, Son, and Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's right. They like working together, don't they? Who made everything? By the power of the Spirit, the plan of the Father working through the Son who sustains all things. Who made it all? Father, Son, Spirit. Who sustains it? Jesus. Who purchased our salvation? Jesus Christ. By the Spirit of God and the plan of the Father. You got a team of three working for you, three in one. We have something that has never occurred in this creation, that has happened and we celebrate it, and it shouldn't become commonplace. Because Jesus says before, behold, I was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. And he says, I hold the keys. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
For those of you at home, you've been here watching my lips. So sorry. That's okay. It wasn't that long. You tell him about it. So then he says again, I hold the keys of death and Hades. And nobody, he says, can wrestle you out of my hands. And he says, and nobody can wrestle him out of the Father's hands. God's got strong hands, if we can say that. Amen. Nobody's going to wrestle him out. He says, I lay my life down willingly and I take it up. I have the authority to do so. Jesus can pull off a resurrection like that. We shouldn't just look at these other things. By the way, if somebody comes back from the dead, that's a pretty big miracle, isn't it? Let's have some respect. It wasn't just the Lord through a prophet. It wasn't even just Jesus with the hands and a command. It was he himself, by the power of God, coming back, declaring who he was, validating his ministry and everything that he had said. Paul said, if the resurrection has not occurred, then we are still in our sins and our preaching is in vain. But by the grace of God, the resurrection did happen. Jesus walked around and showed himself to a lot of people. He spoke to them. He touched them. In fact, a lot of times when they were still freaking out, he said, give me some food. I'll eat with you. And he ate. We know that we serve a risen Savior. We have a living Christ. And in Jesus, this resurrection, those things that before made us afraid, that still make us afraid today, the darkness, evil, death. He says, I've come to finish them all. And he's like a hit list. He's taken them out one at a time. And we get to share what our Jesus did. That's a good hope. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for all that you've done. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your work, your great plan. I want to thank you, God, for your Spirit, who is still opening hearts and changing minds, convicting the world of sin and leading us to repentance. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the empty tomb. I thank you that you did so many things and in so many ways that you left us a witness of hundreds of people who would profess, even though it meant in some cases their death, that they saw you and they talked to you and they touched you and they knew you and they wouldn't turn back from telling the truth to other people so that we might know. Now, I know that you have preserved your word for us, but I thank you for the faithful witnesses that went and told. I thank you for the women at the tomb who went back, and even though that they weren't believed, they kept insisting. I thank you for the faithful apostles who taught your word and were led by your Spirit. I thank you, Father, for disciples over the years, some of them illiterate who just, we might even look down on them today, but they were faithful unto death to make sure that the next generation would hear about who you are and what you did. May we be faithful, I pray, in the same way, in a similar way. Not that we are great, but that we recognize our need for a Savior when we're still afraid of the dark and we're still afraid of the things that are unknown and uncertain in our world. Lord, you have conquered things that we can't even imagine conquering. Help us not to diminish your work on the cross and in the tomb and in your resurrection. That cross is like the X marking the spot on one of the most important, if not the most important point in history ever occurring, that all who looked by faith before can look to it, and those after can look back on it as the moment when you conquered death. Yes. When although we have to taste it, maybe for a time, you have promised that we only get to go be with you. Whether you come back in the clouds and we go to meet you, or we're already there with you and we're coming back, we desire to be with you, Lord. Jesus, would you help us now to appreciate this miracle, to confess you fully as Lord, to walk away from the sins, to agree with you, Lord God, on all things. Help us to repent. Help us, Father, to share what was done on the cross and in and out of the tomb that you have won, that the resurrection was accomplished by a way never seen before and will ever again, and that you are still saving people from death today, first by their spirit and promised in their body later. May we share this good news of Jesus Christ and salvation in him and him alone and in his great work by trusting in Jesus, trusting in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. May you be glorified in everything today. May we decide now to be vocal for you, to trust you, to not be afraid of the dark anymore because you've beaten it. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the defeater of darkness. Amen.
Let's stand together.